Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayamvunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now. I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey, thanks for joining me here, John Sabo, from Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, and I have been here now, boy, you know, people ask me, how long have you been, even the Grab drivers, when they like to practice English here in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City, they like to ask me how long I've been here. It's almost 2 years now that I've been using Ho Chi Minh City as my base. I spent a couple of months outside of Vietnam last year and early this year in Cambodia. So I spent a month in Phnom Penh and a month in Siem Reap. Other than that, for almost the last 2 years, I've been here in southern Vietnam. And, you know, I still haven't really had or taken the time to explore more of the country that I've seen and parts that I haven't seen yet. And I still mean to do that, but with the COVID situation, it hasn't been easy, but I would like to get back to that possibly early next year to share some more of Vietnam other than Ho Chi Minh City, which is absolutely an amazing place to explore. And sometimes people say they don't feel they have enough to do when they're here. And, I, you know, it's because once you hit some of the main tourist sites, there, you know, you can run out of those pretty fast in the core itself here. And then in some of the outlying districts, there's really not a lot for tourists. But there is a lot to see here, exploring even just District 1 other than the obvious sites, and then District 3 next door. District 1 and 3 have the most French colonial architecture. And I would say not just to focus on the French colonial architecture, but all of the interesting Vietnamese phases of architecture as well. There's some really just amazing, unique, modern designs from Vietnamese architects out of the 60s and 70s and even 80s and beyond. And actually, maybe about 15 minutes walk or 12 to 15 minutes walk from where I stay here in District 1 is the Architectural University. So there's really lots of fascinating things to see here. And I mean, you can be just a food explorer and have weeks and weeks and weeks of things to do. So there's lots of stuff to do here. But I would like to expand out and get out to a little bit more of Vietnam and hoping to do that. So in this episode, I'm going to revisit Malaysian Borneo, take you back 3 years to my last trip in Sarawak. And play some of the highlights of that, and then talk a little bit more about this COVID-19 situation and the rollout of vaccines. So I will leave a couple of links in the show notes for you to check out, one of which is, of course, always, if you want to help others discover the Far East Travels podcast, please write a review in the iTunes store. There will be a link there. You just make sure you're signed into your iTunes account, if you have one, and then follow that link, rate the podcast out of 5 stars, and then write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast, soon to be in its 5th year of production. And then you can also support the podcast by becoming a patron, and there'll be a link in the show notes, of course, to follow to my Patreon page and check out the offers there. Even a couple dollars a month really does help out. If we had a few hundred people doing that, just gives me much more time to focus on the podcast and bringing more of, hopefully in the future, more and more and more interesting opportunities and things to do here in East Asia, Southeast Asia, and South Asia. Okay, in the last episode, I was talking about the way to track if you've had a COVID-19 vaccine. How are they going to do that? Are they going to make us or give us those yellow cards again? And we're going to be walking around with these tattered yellow cards through airports, presenting those to immigration or the airlines before we're allowed to board the plane? Or is there something that's going to be much more sophisticated? And the answer is probably something much more sophisticated, like apps. There's actually a few apps being tested and developed right now for this particular thing. And then the other thing, of course, is to have international approval of all of these vaccines. So if you have the vaccine that Vietnam comes up with in a few months and you have had that and you have proof of that, will it be valid if you want to travel to the United States? If the only way you can travel to the United States is by having a COVID vaccine. And Australia has been pretty strong about at least the one, their major airline, their main airline, Qantas Airlines, has been pretty strong about that they were going to not allow anybody on their airlines to come to Australia or leave Australia without a COVID-19 vaccine in the future. So there are apps being developed right now and being tested, actually. One is the Common Trust Network, which is a Swiss nonprofit organization backed by the World Economic Forum. They're rolling out a digital system called Common Pass, designed to certify tests or vaccines and to, of course, prevent fraud, which is a possibility. So not only will you have your record of your COVID-19 test that you've had 72 hours prior to boarding the plane, you would also have your COVID-19 vaccine, or at least records of your jabs of COVID-19. So, but again, these vaccines will have to have some kind of international unity or approval as well. So we can only expect the FDA ones would more than likely, if they've been approved by FDA and other countries like Canada and the UK, that these vaccines would be, of course, approved pretty much everywhere else. But what about all the other vaccines that are going to be developed? In the next few months, there's probably going to be several vaccines that have been approved in different countries and will be made available to their citizens. So it's just a matter of having an organization that's going to certify all of these vaccines so that if you've had one in Vietnam or if you've had one in Russia or China, that it will be good in all of those countries that you want to visit in the future. So IATA, the International Air Transport Association, is testing their own app, the Travel the Travel Pass, I believe right now, actually. And I mean, it's just absolutely, I mean, I see the CEO or the president sometimes come on some of the news programs and speak about the situation, but airlines are expected to lose over $157 billion this year and next year due to the pandemic. And then here's a staggering number for you. Like, this just blows my mind. Overall tourism worldwide estimated to lose over $3.8 trillion because of the pandemic. So there's several apps that are being developed, tested, and hopefully those will be pretty seamless to use. But I can't imagine it's going to be all that smooth going at first. Are we going to be expected to travel to the airport 4 hours prior to boarding? I mean, I'll do it. I don't care if it means that we can travel again and we can get this business going again and get people back to work. I mean, I'll put in my extra hour or two on each end. I don't mind doing that at all. Here's another thing that I don't hear too much about. I don't know if you hear much about this, but do you realize there's hundreds of thousands of seafarers across the globe right now stranded? I think it's over 400,000 people on ships right now that cannot return home, and in some cases can't even get medical assistance because of international travel restrictions. I mean, and some people just get frustrated by what they have to do, and then you hear about this. It's unbelievable what's going on. So we can only hope that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and people are working on these things to make, you know, travel available again and getting people back to work. There's been so many people that I know that have been absolutely just devastated by this pandemic, and the countries that I visited that rely so much on tourism. I mean, it's either tourism or remittance outside of the country, like in a case like Nepal. Either people work in tourism or they just live abroad and they work and they send home money to their families. Almost no other way. So we can only hope in the future that, and the not too distant future, that we'll have all this stuff up and running again and at least be on the road to some kind of a normal. So I want to talk a little bit, or just share a little bit with you about this last trip I did to Malaysian Borneo. I've been to Malaysian Borneo a couple times. The first time I went was in 2014, and I went to Sabah. There are two Malaysian states in Borneo, and Malaysia, I believe, I think I say this in one of my highlights that I'm going to play for you, but I believe Malaysian Borneo makes up about 30% of the territory of Borneo. The rest of it is Kalimantan, is Indonesia. And Indonesia is actually going to be moving their capital to Borneo in the future, I believe in the next few years, next 5 years or something like that, because Jakarta is sinking. So they have plans to make the capital on the island of Borneo. So that should be interesting to see how that all rolls out. But the two states I've been to, the Malaysian states, are just absolutely amazing in so many ways. And I went to Sabah in 2014 primarily to climb Mount Kinabalu, which is the roof of Borneo. It's the tallest mountain on Borneo and on peninsular Malaysia. Met a lot of Malaysians there. They were great. They love to climb Kinabalu. It's, of course, a very much a pride with them. And it's a very sacred place as well. So I climbed Mount Kinabalu in 2014. It's an amazing experience to be on top of the roof of Borneo. It's not a super hard climb to do. I mean, if you've done like trekking and different types of stuff, I don't think you'll have too difficult a time doing it. I just can't believe how cold it is once you get up there. I mean, you're in the tropics and it's freezing. My teeth were chattering at one point. We actually got up too fast and we wanted to get to the peak right for sunrise. So we found a rock. My guide and I found a rock, or he found a rock that we were able to hunker under away from the winds, and we just kind of laid low there for, I don't know, 20 minutes or a half hour until the sun started to come up. So we hit the peak right at the sunrise. And you have to be accompanied by a guide. Now, I think this is actually a really good thing because it puts a lot of local people to work. And I wish other places would do this as well, like Nepal. I know they've talked in Nepal about making guides mandatory in certain regions, particularly the Khumbu Valley where Mount Everest is. And it's not only for safety, and I don't think they should think of it just as a safety measure, although it is a good safety measure to have everybody with a guide. But I also just think it's good for the country. You know, it's good for the people, the local people. Gives everybody a job. It's not a lot of money for anybody that's traveling there. It's not that much more money to hire a guide. You don't have to hire a porter. You can just hire a guide. But if you want a porter as well, you can hire a porter. But it just puts a lot back and keeps people working. And also keeps people in their home country. They're able to live and provide for their family without having to leave the country for a year or 2 years at a time. So I think the guide thing is really good. So you cannot go up Mount Kinabalu without a guide. And you have to overnight. I think there might be some people that can go for the day, but I think you have to jump through hoops if you just want to go up and down. And it'd be 12 to 14 hours if you were going to do that. So I don't know if they actually even let people do that anymore, but I think at one time they did, but it's not easy. Anyways, there's this one, I believe one company that sort of has the monopoly on all the resorts on the mountain, particularly the hut or the sort of the, it's not really a hut. It's a series of buildings that you stay in before you summit the next day. You kind of go up almost to the top, but there's about midway, maybe a little bit higher than midway. And you stay in the hut there, and then you summit the next morning. Anyways, amazing experience. Kota Kinabalu is a great little town, lots of great food, really friendly people. And there's lots of things to do for the day out of Kota Kinabalu. And then there's all kinds of amazing wildlife experience you can do within Sabah. And then, as I said, 3 years ago, I visited Sarawak, and Kuching was my base. And it was just a great experience. I think I spent about 5 days there. I couldn't believe how friendly the people were. And I know I almost say this every time I go somewhere in Asia. I can't believe the people were so friendly, because the cultures here are quite hospitable, and they always love to see foreigners, and they're very welcoming. The Asian hospitality is absolutely amazing. East Asia, Southeast Asia, or South Asia. But I couldn't walk anywhere without people saying hi, welcome. Kids coming home from school in their uniforms, hello, sir. They're the best ambassadors. I mean, the Kuching Tourism Board should be paying all those people, because they're absolutely amazing. So there's just really, it's a neat little town, Kuching. There's colonial buildings. There's an old Chinatown there with all these cool shop houses. And they're starting to convert it over now and kind of make it a little more modern. I mean, there's kind of some more modern eateries that are going in there, but there's still kind of the local stuff, great coffee shops or cafes, and lots of stuff to do. Day trips to do. You can go to Bako National Park, but it's better to stay overnight in Bako National Park. But what an amazing park. I went there just for the day. I should have stayed overnight. Did some hiking, saw some wildlife, saw some wild boar just kind of cruising around one of the huts where you can stop and have something to eat near where they have lodges for you to stay overnight, and saw monkeys. It's a great approach to Bako National Park, because you have to take a boat out there. You can't enter it by land. And you take this boat out to, it's about a half hour taxi ride out of Kuching, and you go to the boat launch and you take this boat up to the park, and they don't have a dock for landing, for entering the park. So they just kind of cruise in a little bit, and then like within about maybe, I don't know, less than a meter, maybe about a couple feet water, they stop, and then you just jump out and you wade in, and you land in the park by wading into the beach there, this beautiful sandy beach. And I waded in and landed on the beach there. Then before I went to the place to check in with my permit, I saw a few people that were sort of gathered around a tree on the edge of the sand of the beach. And they were watching all these proboscis monkeys in the trees. And I had remembered when I went to Sabah a few years before, I had to take this river cruise to go see these proboscis monkeys. And it was a big ordeal to go, you know, on a 3 hour bus ride or mini bus ride out and then get on this river boat and do this cruise. And we saw these proboscis monkeys, but they were you know, a couple hundred meters away, and here I was just a few feet away from these incredible creatures, unique to Borneo. And they have the funny nose. You've probably seen pictures of them before. And they were there. They were right there. So, I mean, the possibilities for doing just day stuff out of Kuching is amazing. As I said, great food. I mean, just if you're a seafood lover, you'll just love the food. And it's so inexpensive to go there. Actually, a lot of Malaysians that I talked to in the past, they don't really go there, not for any other reason other than that the cost they feel is about the same as if they actually, you know, flying there would be the same as if they flew to another country within Asia, so they prefer to do that. But highly underrated place, I have to say, highly underrated, and I think still a little off the radar for the mainstream. So if there's a place you want to go that you're not going to, it's not going to be, I found, not overly crowded with tourists, didn't seem like that to me, then try Malaysian Borneo. It's amazing. But here's some highlights from my last trip there.
Well, I'm here in Kuching, Sarawak. I'm in apparently a very famous place for laksa. Sarawak laksa, so I just got a place here. It's absolutely jam-packed, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking forward to trying some Sarawak laksa. This is the Legislative State Assembly Building of Sarawak, and I'm right on the Sarawak River here in Kuching, Sarawak. And it is muggy, it's hot. And it's very, very tropical here. This is the hot season. And then when it gets to September, September through February becomes the wet season here. But we did get some rain showers this afternoon, and it's just clearing up now. It's turning out to be a lovely afternoon here in Kuching, Sarawak. And Kuching's the third largest city on the island of Borneo, part of Malaysian Borneo. And Malaysian Borneo makes up about 30% of the island of Borneo. Most of it is territory of Indonesia, and a very, very small portion of it is, of course, the Kingdom of Brunei. And I'm going to be here till next Thursday, checking out some of the jungle and the wildlife, hopefully, and some of the sites all around Kuching, which is going to be really cool. But wanting to come down here for a while, I've been to Sabah in Borneo, part of Malaysian Borneo, but this is my first take a look at Kuching in Sarawak. Thank you. Hey, Jackie, hi. You're from Malaysia, aren't you? Are you from Borneo? I can't remember now. Jackie Miao, how are you? Yes, this is Kuching, my first time to Kuching. Looking forward to it, and we'll take a walk. Are you from Sabah? Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, Sabah's amazing, and the people are so friendly. But I'll tell you, the people here are really, really friendly, too. Oh, my God. I met this lovely, beautiful man today. He literally pulled me off the street into his gurdwara, his Sikh temple. And they gave me a free meal. They were doing a meal today because the chief minister of Sarawak was visiting the temple and told me about his life. He's 77 years old, just a wonderful story. So I'm just getting some really good experiences already. Remember now, I don't eat meat, but I can eat maybe vegetarian versions of some of that stuff. I did have some laksa this morning, Sarawak laksa, which is the noodle soup here with coconut milk and sambal spices. Just asked them to leave the chicken out. That was no problem. In Kuching, okay, I'll look into that. But right now, have a look at this. This is a very iconic building, of course, of Sarawak. It's the state legislative building, and this is, I believe, where the head of state lives up here in Astana. It was originally built by what they call the White Rajas of Borneo. And by the way, Kuching is also known as Cat City. Kuching, it sounds like cat in Malay, but there's also another theory behind why they called it Cat City. They've got lots of cat statues around here, and it's fun. So at some point I'll share those with you as well. Not sure on this broadcast, but I wanted to take a look at the river because we had some really heavy rain showers this afternoon, and the sun's coming out again here, and it's this is gorgeous views. And this is, as I was saying before, the third largest city on the island of Borneo. Borneo is the third largest island in the world. It's the second largest in Asia. Papua New Guinea is the largest island in Asia. And of course, Greenland is the largest island in the world. And of course, it's home to the orangutan and also the proboscis monkey, which is only found on the island of Borneo. And I'm hoping, I've seen them before when I was in Sabah a couple years ago, and I'm hoping I'll get a shot at looking at them again. They're one of the most unusual monkeys with their long droopy noses, and but lots of character, lots of just beauty here in Borneo. So I was saying before, I'm gonna be here till next Thursday. And I'm hoping to get out to the jungle tomorrow to visit a couple of parks. Hello, hi. And see some interesting wildlife and scenery here, and some beaches as well. So there's definitely a British influence here. As far as language goes, I've had people ask me this, you shouldn't have any issues with a language barrier here if you're English speaking. Many people in Malaysia speak English, and it's established, it's in the school system. And so for the most part, unless you're really in a really off the beaten path type of place, you're not going to have any communication issues. And of course, most all the signs and everything else here are in English as well. So see some of the old colonial buildings around here, and then we'll take a walk around. Maybe we'll walk back down the river here and take a little quick walk through part of the old Chinatown here, which is really atmospheric as well. So there's about 30% of the population here is of Chinese ancestry. Of course, they're traders and merchants, so they established themselves here a long time ago. And they have this old shop house part of town that's really cool and atmospheric, and not too, like, it's been kept up, but not to the point where it's kind of looks more new than old, if you know what I mean. Your brother starts work in Brunei next month, so you'll be visiting in the next couple of years. Oh, well, that's very convenient, very cool. Well, you know, I'll tell you something about Brunei. Not actually a lot of people visit Brunei, I don't think, from other parts of Borneo, like from Malaysia or Indonesia. I don't know if they get a whole lot of visitors. They certainly don't get a lot of foreigners that visit because of the, you know, some of the strict Islamic laws and drinking. I think you can drink alcohol there. You can get alcohol, but it's a little more difficult. And also in Malaysia overall, generally speaking, alcohol is higher priced because of the taxes. Of course, it's mostly a nation of Muslims, so they want to discourage people from drinking. And so the taxes are quite high on things like beer. I mean, I think it's the most expensive place to drink beer in Southeast Asia. But other than that, you know, the people are friendly all over the island here. I found in Sabah, where I was there a couple of years ago, and here, oh my, so many really kind and friendly people.
Hey, thanks so much for listening and following the podcast. If you want to stay in touch, you can do so by email. Just send me an email. Let me know what you're up to, how you're doing, where you're from. John@fareasttravels.com. Would love to hear from you. Any ideas you got for future episodes would be great as well. And where are you planning to go once you can travel again? Would love to hear. Also, you can send me a note too, or a message. I'd love to hear from you through Instagram as well. John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter, John, or Far East Travels, that is, on Twitter. And don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. The latest video was up this past week on places that expats love to live in Ho Chi Minh City. And right now, I am working on one that I think you might find very interesting, on rush hour in Ho Chi Minh City. It's absolutely insane. And yesterday I was out on a motorbike for like 2 or 3 hours. Oh boy, I should have had two masks on, but the exhaust fumes were just overwhelming, but I managed to capture a lot of good videos. So I'm working on that right now and hope to share that with you very soon. So do check that out. Thank you so much. And when things get back to normal, I wish you safe travels. Tashi delay, namaste, and peace.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.